because we are the ones our mothers and our fathers prayed for. Can I get a witness up in here? Can I get a witness? Somebody prayed for me. Somebody had me on their mind. He could have taken a position with a prestigious law firm, but he went back to Southside Chicago and worked as a community organizer, and that's where he met his wife, a real black woman. Now don't mess with Michelle. No, don't mess with Michelle. Sometimes I wonder how black Barack is, but ain't no doubt in my mind about girlfriend. Come on, I'm a real preacher. Come on, let's have church tonight. Anybody want to have a sure enough revival? He had a goal. He had an objective. He had a destination. And he started out helping poor folk. It was as if somebody was telling him, if I can help somebody, as I pass along, cheer somebody with a word or song, show somebody they're traveling wrong, then my living, somebody better hear me tonight, shall not be in vain. If I can do my duty as a Christian ought, bring salvation to a world once wrought, spread the message like the master taught, then my living will not be in vain. Started dating Michelle. Went to a home. Her brother, who's a basketball coach out of the University of Oregon, asked him what he wanted to be. He said he wanted to be a state senator. God gave him his wish. The brother asked him, what else you want to be? He said, well, I'm going to run one day for the United States Senate. And God gave him his wish. And then he said something that made Michelle's brother laugh. I might just be the first black president of the United States of America. And her brother laughed. But it ain't no secret what God can do. Some of y'all ain't feeling me yet. But I believe I got about 25 witnesses who are not ashamed to stand up on your feet and declare that God will give you the desires of your heart if you are not willing to take the shortcut. Here we are tonight, 15 days from the most critical election of our lifetime, looking at a black man getting ready to go into the White House, and it can happen. I don't believe God brought him this far to leave him. Can I get a witness? How many of you know he may not come when you want him? It's been almost 400 years since we've been here, and finally God has heard our cry. Shortcuts. Always produce enemies. Look at what else the text teaches. The shortcut may be the easy way, but it's not the best way. Read the Bible. God never takes, Darlene, the shortcut. Never. There are times I wish he would. Why does it always have to be the Red Sea? Doggone it. Why does it have to be the lion's den? Why does it have to be the fiery furnace? Why does it have to be the Philippian jail cell? Why does it have to be the Isle of Patmos? Why does it have to be Calvary? God's way is never the easy way. God said, I know the shortest route between two points is a straight line, but you ain't going the straight line to get to your deliverance. I'm going to get you to the Red Sea, but I'm going to take you through the desert of sin. And the route that God takes is sometimes this way. Well, sometimes it's that way, but it's seldom this way. Isaiah, help me understand it. God says, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are my ways above your ways and my thoughts above your thoughts. The writer of Proverbs helped me understand this when he said, lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Job helped me understand it. And when he has tried me, I shall come forth as pure gold, because the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. But blessed be the name of the Lord. The easy way is not always the best way, and God's way is always the hard way. When God liberated Israel, and whenever God emancipates us, he liberates us, he emancipates us, he frees us so that he can lead us. You are liberated to be led. Right. Right. Yes, sir. Amen. The British novelist Charles Kingsley says there are two ways to define freedom. One is a false way and the other is a truth. The false definition of freedom is this: I can do as I want to do. That's freedom, but it's a false definition. But on the other hand, the true definition says, I'm free, but I must do as God wants me to do. Or to put it another way, I must not do what I want to do, but I must do what I ought to do. You remember that great line in The Great Debaters? When Melvin Tolson told the members of the debating team, we must do what we have to do, so that one day we can do what we want to do. Most of us want to do it our way now. And we always end up in the country of the Philistine. We always end up in enemy territory when we want to do it our way. We are liberated not to do as we choose, but we are liberated to be led by God and to do what he demands. That's why the 23rd Psalm, the nightingale of the Old Testament, declares, he leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads me by still waters. He leads me in green pastures. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Thou art with me. If he liberates me to lead me, then he never leaves nor forsakes me. I'm always the recipient of cosmic companionship. I remember the first time I went to South Africa, back in 1984, when apartheid was still the rule of the land. I remember preaching in Johannesburg, in Cliptown, leaving there, going to Cape Town, leaving Cape Town to go out to a little place called Powell. And we climbed up a mountain. And I looked from its summit out into the middle of the Indian Ocean, and I saw an island, and I raised the query, what place is that? And my guide, his name was Stanley, told me that's Robben's Island. I said, what is the significance of Robben's Island? This is 1984. He said, that's where Nelson Mandela is currently imprisoned. He's not been seen ever since he's been locked up. And for those of you who know his story, you know that he was locked up for 27 years. But what I discovered was, those first 10 of those 27 years, he was beaten every day until the Red Cross, the International Red Cross, interceded and stopped the beating. And yet it's a strange thing, isn't it, that in order to get from prisoner to president, he had to be locked up for 27 years. It was not the easy way, but it was the best way. Y'all missed it. That's why you got to go through what you're going through. Because Because not only does God liberate you to lead you, God says, I got to take you through hell. Because it's only when you go through stuff that your character is shaped and molded. I get sick and tired of these howdy-doody preachers who want to make you believe that your season gonna last forever. Your season ain't gonna last forever. You don't know any season that lasts forever. God never gives to the physical world that which is not already axiomatic in the spiritual world. If in the physical world the seasons come and go, fall will give way to winter, winter will give way to spring, spring will give way to summer. If you've had your season of favor, thank God for it. Because some lean times are coming. You better keep on coming because your house may end up in foreclosure. You better keep on coming. You may get a pink slip. You better keep on coming. Your child might end up on crack. No season lasts forever. If you ain't in a storm, you're coming out of one. And if you ain't coming out of one, honey, you're getting ready to go in one. So you better have a shout for the outside as well as for the inside. Y'all ain't got to help me preach. I'm preaching myself tonight. How many of y'all know that whether good or bad, I'm going to praise him? Whether I'm up or down, I'm going to praise him. Whether on the mountain or in the valley, I'm going to praise him. Whether I got a job or I'm broke, I'm still going to praise him because the Lord will make a way. I said the Lord will make a way.